What a glorious, glorious day in Jesus. What a wonderful time to give glory and honor to his name. If you don't mind, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts? The book of Acts, or as we say in New York, the book of Ask. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to go down to verse 8. And then from there, we're going to go to the book of Matthew and the 5th chapter. And that's where we're going to hover for a while. Verses 43 through 45. So Acts 1:6 and Matthew 5:43. I want to talk to you this afternoon on the topic, why good things happen to bad people. Why good things happen to bad people. Acts 1, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, or to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, the question that's being asked to Jesus is, of course, being asked after he died, after he was risen again, and after the Spirit of the Lord made it very, very clear that the disciples who had run and who had hidden were now about to be used by God in a miraculous and a marvelous way. And their question to the Lord was, is it the time that we had hoped for? Is this the time that we had been told about from the times that we were children? From the old and ancient times, the stories of how God would make everything right, how he would bring the house of Israel to its proper place, and they would have authority and power among the nations, and ultimately everything would be made right. So basically their question is to the resurrected Jesus, has everything been put to rights? Is everything the way it's supposed to be? And Jesus said to them that this is a thing, this idea of everything being made right, that is left to the power and to the discretion of God the Father. In other words, he's saying, you're asking, is the world right? And I'm saying, trust God. He didn't give them a direct answer saying everything is right. In fact, implied is no, but trust God. Then he goes on to say that even though the world is not what it will ultimately be, and the situation is not what it will ultimately be, even though the world might not be made right, you are. This is why he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, the word witness is the same word that we understand as martyr. It basically means that you are going to be right in a world that's not right. That you are going to be good in a world that's not good. So the question is everything good? The answer is no, but you are. Is everything right? The answer is no, but you are. And so what we find in that word martyr, that word witness, is not so much a picture of someone who dies for their faith, but someone who is willing to. Someone who is willing to be good in a bad world. And not just that, but someone who is willing to be good to bad people. In other words, someone who is willing to be the answer to the question, why does good things happen to bad people? The Lord would have us to be his expression of good in a bad world, so that good can happen to bad people. Now look at the passage of scripture that we pointed out in the book of Matthew. Matthew 5:43. Beginning to read down to verse 45. Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, when we hear this passage of scripture, we realize immediately that these things are impossible with us. And that's why you hear Jesus saying to his disciples, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my martyrs. You shall be the kind of people who are ready to do good even if it kills you. Ready to do right even if it brings wrath upon you. Not because of any strength in yourself, but because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, there are a class of people who are waiting for everything to be made right, waiting for everything to be good before they do good. A class of people who are waiting for the situation to be conducive for witnesses before they become witnesses, waiting for there to be no danger before they can venture out. But the Bible says that there is another class of people, not a class of people who move in their own strength, not a class of people who muster things up in their own power, not a class of people who are able somehow to retrieve a certain thing from the core of their being, but a people upon whom the Holy Spirit has descended. A people filled with the Holy Ghost, a people empowered by God, who make a decision to do what they know to be right, even if they understand that difficult times lie ahead as a result. And a people who go out of their way to bless those who curse them, to love those who hate them, to minister to those who are trying to break them, and to give to those who are trying to destroy them. Because the Bible says that this is the way that God does it. So it is up to us in this generation to be the expression of the goodness of God and to be the answer to the question, why does good things happen to bad people? God wants us to be the answer to that question because there is no other answer. If God does not work through his church, if his Holy Spirit is not causing his name to be glorified through his people, if we are not witnesses unto Jesus in this generation, then there is no hope for this generation. The Bible tells us that we will be witnesses. We will be martyrs. We will be a stubborn people and a defiant people, a people who choose to do good no matter how much evil is in front of us, a people who choose to do right no matter how great the difficulty, a people who choose to be light no matter how dark the darkness, a people who choose to preach this gospel no matter how great the hypocrisy, no matter how great the blasphemy, no matter how great the lies or the deception, a people who choose to do what they know to be right because the God who abides in them has decided that he is going to have a witness in this generation. What it finally comes down to, brother and sister, is that we understand that we have been empowered for a purpose. That the power of God is upon us, not just that we can say yes, as we heard in the song earlier, but that somehow we can say yes in a society that has as its mantra a resounding no. Somehow we can say yes when everyone around us is telling us that there is no hope. We can say yes and amen when everyone around us is telling us that the ship is sinking and that there is absolutely no recourse. We can believe that God is still resounding yes in this society because the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Heaven is still God's throne and earth is still his footstool. And as long as God chooses to, there can still be a sunrise in the midst of this society, and there can still be rain in its season. The Lord, the God of our salvation, has chosen to do good in this society. The Bible says in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, in the 38th verse, that Jesus went about doing good. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. The same thing that same Jesus of Nazareth said about us. You shall be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And with power, the Bible says, he was anointed. Therefore, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God has called this church, and God has called the Christian body in general, to go about doing good, to infiltrate the ranks of the devil, and to save men and women as David in the days of old, who would not allow a Goliath to speak against God's name. And who would not allow the lion or the bear to snatch up God's people. There comes a time in the life of every Christian person who is well aware of the evil of our society to say, not God is everything right, but to say, God, you do what you do according to your power and your discernment, but I know what you've called me to do in this society. Things don't have to be right for me to be right. Things don't have to be good for me to be good. Things don't have to go well for things to be well with my soul. Things don't have to be perfect for me to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Devils don't have to shut up for me to talk. Devils don't have to stop moving for me to start moving. Devils don't have to stop hurting people for me to start healing people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devils don't have to start marching or stop marching for me to be on the march and to do this thing that God has called me to do. There comes a time, brother and sister Christian, when we know that God has called us to something. And the day doesn't have to go right for me. The night doesn't have to go right for me. I don't have to have had the best week of my life. My health don't have to be right. My bank account don't have to be right. My friends don't have to always be on my side. The circumstances don't have to always be what I want them to be. There comes a time when God's people choose to move simply because we know it is the right thing to do. simply because we know it's the good thing. And we do it everywhere. We do it in Jerusalem if that means our home. Everything doesn't have to be right at home. All of our children don't have to be wanting to go to church for us to keep on praying, keep on believing. All of our spouses don't have to want to come with us to church for us to keep on praying, keep on believing. Keep on seeking. Keep on preaching. Keep on living right. We don't have to live in the right neighborhood in order for us to be able to lift up our hands and sing our songs to God. Don't have to be super duper warm in the wintertime in our homes in order for us to lift up our voice, acknowledge God, bless His holy name. We might not have steak on the table, but we have Jesus Christ on the throne. Hallelujah. 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 And God has called us to be witnesses. God has called us to be good. God has called us to do right. God has called us to bless and not curse. It don't have to be right in our Judea. We don't have to live in the right neighborhood. We don't have to work in the right job. We don't have to go to the right school. Not every person who's a Christian is going to go to a Christian school. Amen. Not every Christian that's rich in spirit going to be rich. Not everybody's going to work in a job where everybody says hallelujah and praise the Lord when you walk in. But it don't got to be right in Jerusalem for us to be right, and it ain't got to be right in Judea for us to be right. It doesn't have to be right in Samaria. Wherever God has called you to minister, wherever God has called you to serve, wherever God has called you to volunteer, not everybody's got to be doing it exactly the way you think they need to be doing it. Not everybody's got to even notice that you're doing it. Not everybody got to clap you on your back. Not everybody's got to say thank you. You know that the Lord sees. You know that God knows. You know that your Father is proud of you. You know that your Father sees you. You know that your Father's blessing you. You know your Father's working through you. So it doesn't have to be right in Samaria, and it certainly doesn't have to be right in every part of the world. See, their question was, Lord, is the world right? In other words, can we now begin to do what we do? Are you now going to do what you do? When they said, is the world right? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? What they meant was, are things at this point conducive for the free flow of God's Spirit? And what Jesus was saying is, by your idea of what conducive means, in other words, are things right so that God can begin to move? He said, by your idea of things being right, no. But by God's idea of things being right. What God is saying is, as long as you're right, then things are right. As long as you're good, then this world is good. As long as you're light, this world is not utterly immersed in darkness. As long as you're salt, this world is not utterly bland. As long as you're here, this world has hope. As long as you choose to do good, this world has a future. When you come into your job, or you walk into your home, or you walk into your school, or you walk into your neighborhood, the Holy Spirit is moving into that community. The Holy Spirit is moving into that home. The Holy Spirit is moving into that neighborhood. When you step on the train, that train becomes a church. You don't know that, do you? When you step into that place becomes a church. Folks around you might not know it yet, you know, but you start praying and you start believing God and you start watching what God can do. Because wherever you are, there's salt, there's light, there's life, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's the Holy Spirit, there's the good. There is a reason that good things happen to bad people. You. There is a reason that good things happen to bad people. Because the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit travels with you. The Holy Spirit works through you. The Holy Spirit causes His name to manifest in you. Jesus said, do good. He said, bless. Bless those who curse you. Think about what was happening with Judas. Jesus knew what Judas was about. From the earliest stages, Jesus knew. You read in John 6, and it says, haven't I chosen you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He knew that Judas was what he was, right? But consider what he did with Judas throughout his ministry, throughout Jesus' ministry. It begins with him giving Judas a warning, and he does it discreetly. He said, haven't I chosen you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He never mentions his name, but it gives Judas an opportunity to search his heart. So while Judas is, in essence, plotting to kill him, Jesus is still giving him an opportunity to consider what's in his heart. This is the idea of blessing when you look at the way Jesus goes about it. When we are honest with people and we tell them discreetly, lovingly, mercifully, search your heart and see what you're doing. See what you're thinking. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus wants Judas to consider. Again, at a certain point, he gives them the money bag, the money that they use to feed the poor. And John makes it very clear that everybody knew that Judas was stealing from the money bag. So you ask yourself the question, why did Jesus give him the bag? Again, so that he could search his heart. Every time he took something out of that bag. In other words, Jesus was not allowing Judas to lie to himself. He was showing him patience, showing him kindness, but the kind of kindness that, as the Bible says, kind of heaps coals upon a person's head. It's the kind of kindness that says, search your heart because you're going in a really bad direction. And for us to be good in this society, to bless this society, we have to be honest with this society. But in love and in patience. The Bible says, again, at a certain stage, Jesus is washing all the feet of the disciples. And he washes Judas's feet as well. The same feet that he knows is about to run and betray him. And yet he's washing his feet. Same way you and I are called to be merciful to people, even people that we know are going to hurt us. To be servants to people, even to people that we know are going to hurt us. Remember Jesus said at a certain point, if a person smites you in the cheek, turn him the other also. You know, I used to think that means just don't smite him back, but that's not what it means, right? It means give them another opportunity. Now, again, we're not talking about, you know, abusive spouses and all this and all that. I don't want you to, you know what I mean? I don't want you to misinterpret me. Because the last thing I want you to do is stay in the house where somebody's hitting you. You know what I'm talking about? But what I'm suggesting is there comes a time when we become vulnerable, spiritually vulnerable, where, let me tell you this, basically speaking, love in general is dangerous. It requires vulnerability. And Jesus is saying, sometimes I'm asking you to be vulnerable to people that you know at least have the potential to betray you. So he washes Judas's feet. And then later on, they're saying, who's going to betray you? Who's going to betray you? He said, the one that I break the bread, when I dip it and hand it to him, that's the one. Now, in that culture, to do that was an act of favor, an act of grace. And Jesus did that with Judas. Again, all of that. Can you imagine sitting there while Jesus is washing your feet and you're looking at him and there's something in you that wants to betray him? Something in you that's moving closer and closer and closer in that direction. All that time, handing him the bread, an act of favor, an act of grace. In other words, Jesus persisted in being gracious. In all of that, instead of Judas's heart being broken and melting, and so it just got harder and harder and harder. But Jesus was able to say, and the final thing was when Judas came to betray him, and Jesus, he comes, remember he betrays the Lord with a kiss, and Jesus looks at him. And he says, friend, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Again, all of that should have pierced his heart. So Judas chose to be rock hard, but Jesus chose to be merciful. Not everybody to whom you and I are going to be merciful is going to repent. But it's still our responsibility to be merciful. Because the Lord says that's what he does. And so our goal is not to say, when everything is right for me to do the right thing, then I'm going to do the right thing. Is the kingdom now moving in the way that I expected it to move? If so, then I'm going to be loving. Is the kingdom moving in the way that my understanding accepts God's hand? Then I can move in that direction. I thought that God was going to be like this. And is he like this? And if he's like that, then I can do that. That's not what the Bible is saying. It's saying you and I don't know the ultimate wisdom and discretion of God, but it's not for us to know that. It's for us to know that as long as we're right, then things are all right. As long as we choose to love, then there's love in the earth. As long as we choose to be good, then there is goodness in the earth. For us to say there is no goodness in the earth would be the same as to say that either we're not in the earth or that we're not doing our job. As long as we are here, then there's goodness in the earth. As long as we are here, then there's hope for this generation. I'm not saying that every person is going to repent. I could go through the same kind of thing that I just went through with Judas, with Peter. And I can show you that each time Jesus had to speak a word, because Peter had a problem. His biggest problem was with the cross. He wasn't afraid to die. He was afraid of the cross. Do you remember? I mean, when he took out his sword, you know, and cut off Malchus's ear, he was striving against the temple police. That would be the same as a guy, you know, pulling out a pea shooter against the SWAT team. You know what I mean? There was no way he was going to live through that, but he didn't care. He wasn't afraid of dying in a blaze of glory. He was afraid of the ignominy, the shame of the cross. So every time you see Peter having a struggle with Jesus, it's about the cross. Whether it's at Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus is talking about going to the cross, and Peter begins to take him by the lapels and say, no, this will never happen to you. And all the other situations that you'll find where Peter has a serious problem with the Lord, a clash, it's with the cross. But Jesus continues to kind of, in essence, break that down, so that by the time you're reading 1st and 2nd Peter, man, you are reading, and I mean, just a worship and a praise for the cross of Jesus Christ. So basically, whereas Judas never was able to receive, Peter received. So you and I, we just go about doing good. We go about being kind. We go about blessing. Jesus makes it very, very clear that he, by the great love of God, laid his life down for us. And then Paul makes it even more clear, while we were yet sinners. Remember, Paul said at a certain point, scarcely will anybody lay down their life even for a good person, how much more for people when they are enemies. But Jesus said, love your enemies. And he said, greater love has no one than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. Now you get that. He's saying about his enemies that they're his friends, even before he had made them his friends. And Abraham Lincoln said a long time ago, don't I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends. There comes a time for you and for me to realize something. There is no other hope but us. That's the way God designed it. So if I look at this world and I say there's no good in this world, what I'm saying is I'm not doing my job. Because as long as I choose to be good, there's some good in this world. As long as I choose to be light, right? There's some light in this world, and I can't see it. It's utterly hopeless. As long as the Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. If Christ is in me, then there is hope in this society. So I guess I can ask the question in a negative way and say, why doesn't good things happen to bad people? And then if I were to answer that, I would have to say, because I'm not doing good when I could be. But if I say, why does good things happen to bad people? I'm going to say, because good people refuse to stop praying. Good people refuse to stop caring. Good people refuse to stop giving. Good people refuse to stop hoping. Good people refuse to stop being an example. Good people refuse to stop being a witness. When I say refuse to stop doing these things, in other words, I'm saying they are witnesses. They are martyrs. They are saying, I'm going to be good even if it kills me. I'm going to do right even if it kills me. If it brings rejection, if it brings shame, well, the Bible says about Jesus that he embraced or endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame meant nothing to him because he said at a certain point, the Father works without ceasing, and so do I. And we can say the same thing. The Spirit works good, and so do I. Because he's working good through me. Bottom line is what the Lord is saying is, the Father's not going to tell you his whole plan, but it will tell you this much of it. Whatever good he's looking to do in the earth, he's looking to do through you. It's not up to us to know the times and the seasons, but we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses. And we'll be witnesses everywhere, on every level, at every stage, not because of any strength in ourselves, but because the Holy Spirit gives us the power. He'll give you the power to love that person who hurts you. You and I can't do it on our own. We can't love someone who hurt us when we were children, but the Holy Spirit can do that in us and through us. We can't love that person who robbed us, who stole from us, who betrayed us, person who violated us, person who oppressed us, that person who's not given us the opportunities that we think we deserve. But the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit can do it through us. We can't do good to people when they are in the process of doing evil to us. Because everything in us wants to throw up a defense. But that's why Jesus says, do not attempt to leave Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. There is something that the Spirit of God does in us. I want to pray with you this afternoon. The prayer is very simple. Lord, make me defiant in this generation. Not arrogant. Defiant. Defiant in the sense that everything around me and everything in my flesh is saying, protect yourself. But that's not what a martyr does. Everything in me and everything around me is saying, watch your own back. But that's not what a martyr does. Everything in me is saying, look out for number one. You need to know how to protect yourself in this generation. But that's not what a martyr does. Yes, we are to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. We ought to know the world that we're living in, and we ought to be discreet in our expression of goodness, and we ought to know how the Holy Spirit is leading us from day to day. But that's not the same as denying who we are. We have to do some good. We have to make a difference. We have to keep praying. We have to keep blessing. We have to keep loving. We have to keep doing good. Because if not, everybody dies. If we don't do what God has called us to do, and again, we don't do anything in our own strength, then everybody dies. We are the life of this generation. We are the hope of the world. That's the way God designed it. But thank God he didn't ask us to do anything in our own strength. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're clothed with power on high, but you shall receive power to do good, to make a difference, to be a martyr, to be a witness. And we can say along with Esther, under those circumstances, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to pray for God's people. I'm going to believe for this generation. I'm going to hope both for the saint and for the lost. Every person in this room, every Christian in this room more specifically, and I'm taking it for granted that the large majority have made a decision for Jesus. You're the only hope in this generation. But thank God. He's not asking you and me to do anything in our own strength. He's saying, trust me. I will use you to save people. use you to change the world, use you to give people one more chance, one more opportunity. I want to pray with you this afternoon. Prayer is very simple. God, sometimes it's hard for me to do what I know I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to ask you to help me this afternoon to do some good, to pray for somebody, to give to God's cause, to bless somebody. It's hard, brothers and sisters. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He makes it very clear that what's impossible for us is possible with God. With God, all things are possible. And so he chose in his wisdom. I gotta say this one thing and then I'll close. They're saying, are you going to do this thing and are you going to do this thing? Are you going to make everything right so that your kingdom can come through? And it's like the Lord says, in essence, it's up to God. Everything is in his wisdom. And in his wisdom, he chose you. In his unspeakable and unknowable wisdom, he chose you. He chose me. To just do what little I can in his strength. And somehow it's going to make the world a better place. I don't like the thought of having to look at the news and say, oh, well, ain't nothing I can do. No, that's not what Christians do. We might not be able to change everything, but we can change something. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together, please. And if God is speaking to you, still very early, so we'll take some time and we'll pray. If God is speaking to you and you're in a situation, whether it's your Jerusalem or your Judea or your Samaria or your uttermost parts of the world, and you're saying, Brother Will, I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. And I just want to pray and ask God to help me. Then that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. The Holy Spirit has already come. We already have the power, but every now and again, he just wants to stir it up in us. He tells us that's what we ought to do with one another. We ought to stir up the gifts that God has given us. So that's basically what we're going to do. And then the second thing is, sometimes people ask the question, where is the good in the earth? I want us to stand here. And in essence, to say to the world, to say to the enemy, to say to our own hearts, here is the good. And to take a stand and to say, I don't care what the world is telling me. I know that there's good in the earth. As long as God is in the earth, as long as the Holy Spirit is in the earth, as long as his church is in the earth, as long as I'm in the earth, we can say there's good in the earth. And we can take a stand right now and say, you want to know what good looks like? You're not looking at a perfect person. You're not looking at somebody who doesn't make mistakes. You're looking at somebody washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God, who chooses to take a stand just because God told me to. This is who we are. So if you're looking to see what good looks like, let's take a look. I want you to come and I want you to stand if God is speaking to you. And to say to this world, and especially to say to the devil, this is what good looks like. And as long as I'm alive, good things are going to happen, even to bad people. As long as I'm alive, there's hope. And continue to come. Follow those who are coming. We'll sing a song or two. Balcony, main floor. We'll wait for you. And then we'll pray together in Jesus' name. Jesus prayed from the cross the same way he told us to pray. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But we know what God is doing. Said, I'm not going to tell you all of it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. As long as you're here, there's good here. Said, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to work everything out, but the Spirit of God will be with you. And you will be my witnesses in this generation. That's something that God has chosen. We don't have to know the whole picture. We just know where we fit.
Our job is to be good and to do good wherever we happen to be. And we can't do that except by the Spirit. So it's the Spirit of the Lord who's with us to help us to be light in this generation. I'm not being melodramatic, if you will, or hyperbolic when I say, if we don't do what God has called us to, everybody dies.
Amen.
Everybody. Amen. That's the way the Lord designed it. He chose to use us to be vehicles of life. And thank God that he never told us to do it in our own strength. He said, wait for me. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you who to speak to. I'll tell you who to pray for. I'll tell you what to give to. I'll tell you. You won't have to worry. I'll tell you. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters here who've chosen to stand up and to be good. And sometimes we hear the philosophers say, well, if you can't show me it, if I can't taste it, I can't touch it, it must not be real. But we know that there are things, Lord, that are real, even though they can't be touched or tasted or seen. And they'll say, where is justice? Or show me love, or show me good. Well, Lord, we can look at these men and women standing here, and these men and women sitting in this congregation, and we can say, this is what good looks like. This is what good feels like. You can touch it. You can handle it. As we said about our Savior, we saw him. We touched him. We handled him. The word of life. And we can look at one another and we can say, this is what good looks like. This is what good feels like. This is how good walks. This is how good talks. This is what good does. Jesus, it's only by your Spirit. We're not good in ourselves, but you are good in us and good through us. And so we're asking you to help us to help somebody. Help us to make a difference. Help us to reach out. Help us to defy the lies of the devil. And to say, I don't care what the devil is trying to say about me. I know what God has said about me. And I don't care what the devil is trying to say about this society. God has said that as long as we are here, he has a witness in this society. And so we will thank you, O Jesus, for causing your name to be glorified in us. It's our privilege to bless your name, to manifest your goodness in this society. Cause your name, O Jesus, to be lifted again, so that men and women might worship you again, love you again, bless you. Lord, it's something that you earned on Calvary. You deserve it. And we're going to do everything that we can to make sure you get your praise, your worship, your adoration. We're going to do everything that we can, as the one missionary said, to win for the Lamb. That thing, Lord, that wonderful thing that you bought on Calvary's cross. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to his holy name.